Welcome, everybody, to Moms Who Do It. I'm Ari.
I'm Jessica.
And we're excited to join you this week to discuss postpartum mental health with Julia. Julia went to Penn State, and I met her, I think I was 10 years old.
I think you were older than that, to be fair. Maybe 13, 14. I'm not that much. I think there's less than 10 years between us.
Okay.
but thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of mental health. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
I was like 13. And we used to volunteer at an orphanage in the Dominican Republic together every year, and we just became basically like sisters, and she was like a big sister to me, whether she liked that or not.
I got to babysit you when your mom would go away, or like escort you to other places.
It was amazing.
I think I taught you how to make it look like you were drinking without actually drinking.
I'll never forget.
Some quality life lessons.
Yeah, because when you're like, you know, under 21, you can't, if you go to a happy hour, they put an X on your hand. But I didn't want to feel lame. So you taught me to just get cranberry juice in a glass with a straw.
And like a lime on the side. Yeah.
Lime is the real, deal's the deal.
But no, on a serious note, we developed like what was a pretty cool relationship and friendship that was one of those that we could kind of tap into no matter kind of how much time went between us or, you know, through different phases of our life. I remember like when you graduated from college and you came down to Philly and I got to take you out with like a couple friends and now it's very surreal that you are a mom and getting to kind of I've always been a big Ari fan, and so this is really fun to now share something else in our lives together.
Yeah, well, I've always of course been a huge Julia fan and always looked up to you, and now that I have kids I really look up to you because one kid.
Is there something we don't know? Because I'm pretty sure last time I checked 5 minutes ago, it was just one.
Oh, God.
That's amazing.
That's
so funny.
Now that I have one kid, I really see all that you do in a different light, and I'm just even more impressed. So, Julia is the Vice President of Development for the Philadelphia Youth Basketball Organization. And so we're just so excited to have you here. And we'll start with an icebreaker. And we will ask, what is something that you have Googled recently in the context of being a mom?
It's probably helpful to know that my kids are 10 and 8 now.
Yes.
So I am entering whole new worlds of parenting, you know, woes and stories and life lessons. But we actually went to Top Golf as a family on Friday for my partner's work. It was actually a wonderful time. My son, who's 8, is like naturally very athletic, but that means when things don't come easy to him, he gets frustrated very easily. So upon leaving Topgolf, I Googled like how to teach your child good sportsmanship and like how to not have a sore loser, and he definitely does not get any of that at all from me. My name at Topgolf was not Crusher. you know, there's always a little bit of self-reflection that's needed too, I think, when you pull out the Google for stuff. But yeah, yes. I'm like currently reading some articles on how to support my kid and not being a sore loser.
That's a great one. I'll bookmark those for down the line.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. And today we're going to talk about mental health. So postpartum mental health.
Listen, we're authentic here on this podcast.
They got to multitask. So postpartum mental health is extremely important. And would you like to share why you chose that as your topic today?
Yeah, for sure. So I had two pretty intense experiences with postpartum depression and anxiety. And I would say, even though, and again, this was like a 10 years ago at this point, but like, you know, mental health has for sure become more and more destigmatized, but there's still just so much we don't talk about around it, like so many things with motherhood. And it's like tremendously isolating. And so I think being able to have open and honest conversation about it is really important. And to know that there's a lot of resources out there and a lot of just like normalcy to what folks go through postpartum.
Yeah, absolutely. Jessica, do you have any?
I'm just reminiscing on all my fabulous postpartum anxiety, depression, OCD, everything that I've had in my journey. So that's why I'm so quiet for once. Huge topic that needs to be discussed because so many people tiptoe around it. And just kind of, you know, there's a lot of people I know, especially, that just don't think it's a big enough problem, but it is a problem. And many women don't talk about it. And many people, you know, unfortunately suffer. And, you know, like Julia said, there's plenty of resources. Even just like us three talking is like in itself, you know, I mean, it's really important that, that people speak up about it and get the help they need, and also, you know, acknowledge. Also, I think before we get into the whole thing, but just side note, it's important to, for someone who's listening, like maybe sometimes people don't even know that they might have a problem, and they right. think, you know, sometimes it doesn't hit you till like further down the road. Like my whole anxiety and all the stuff that happened didn't really kick in till like 6 months in, you know, so which is crazy. The first few months, I think I was just in a blackout zone, so like I don't even know how I was, but like when it really started to hit me, it was so much more down the road. So I think it's really important that we're talking about it, and I hope that after we have our conversation that like many women who are postpartum can go out and get the help they need, or you know, find the therapy in whatever way it is, just to, you know, make yourself a little less crazy and more relaxed. Because especially for me as a first time mom, that's how I felt. I feel like you need to find something to just take your mind off of everything.
For sure.
Yeah. And I know, like, when I had my baby recently, they were like, yeah, you might feel sad for like 6 weeks, and that, you know, that's normal. So if it's after 6 weeks, you know, let us know.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I know? I don't know. what is too sad or sad enough, or what's normal? Yeah. And it's really hard to know. So Julia, after, I know with both of your children it was a little different for each one. How was it with your first one?
Yeah, so when I had my daughter, you know, I had kids like what feels like relatively young. I was 26 and 28, like about to turn 29 when I had my son. And so we were like the first of our friend group to have kids. So we didn't have a lot of like peers who had had kids either. What's really interesting too is at Penn State, I was a biobehavioral health women's studies double major. And so I actually ended up taking a lot of classes in like the women's health space.
Nice.
And so some of that actually focused on like birth and like how, you know, birth had been medicalized in lots of ways. Like if you had asked me in college, it would have been like, I don't know, knock me out and like remove the baby from me, like, you know. And then like I went through and like learned all this stuff. And so when I went to have my daughter, I went to a birthing center, like I wanted to have midwives, and I felt very strongly about the type of birth that I wanted to have. And I think sometimes like too much information can actually be counterproductive. And so when my water broke when I was not in labor, I was like, oh, I don't think this is how it's supposed to go.
Oh, God.
And then I was like, I don't think this is clear either. Like, I don't, your water's supposed to be clear when it breaks. I'm like, I was like, who knows? Like, what's, I don't even know what's happening. And so,
oh my God.
We had a doula who was fantastic. And I know you mentioned that in a previous podcast. And I was like, yes, like team doulas are wonderful. I'm so thankful for my doula. You know, and she was like, let's go like get checked at the, so they like saw me and they're like, yep, your water broke. Yep, it's not clear. And that like automatically meant I was gonna go to the hospital and have like a hospital birth. I couldn't give birth at the birthing center. Hmm. Now the midwives like still had privileges there, but I hadn't even like toured the hospital. Like I was just like, you know, like I'm having this baby at the birth center, you know, all this stuff. So even from the start, I was like, okay, this isn't going exactly to plan, all of that stuff. So then they, again, I was also like not in labor. So they induced me when we got to the hospital. And very long story, somewhat short, long story medium, it probably about like 20 hours later, I was like a whole centimeter dilated and like so not much progression. And then like my heart rate and the baby's heart rate were doing some like funny things, and I was also getting to the point where I was like, I'm sorry, like I'm supposed to still like have a baby at some point, like what, like I, you know. So we after like 24 hours they like made the decision, like, you know, we think you need a C-section. I was like, C-section, let me tell you, everybody's getting C-sections. They're like, so it, you know, the medicalization of birth has pushed more people to get C-sections, like all this stuff. And so I was, they're just trendy. Like they're very trendy, right? Like, and so it was just very surreal because I was like, this was not the plan. Like,
right. Yep.
And to be honest, like my first experience, like the experience getting the C-section was like not great. I did not feel like the midwife was in there, but like there were lots of other people. I didn't know any of these people. I felt very like talked over. It was in January. People were like, how are your holidays? I'm like, I'm sorry. Can we focus?
How was your holidays, past the scalpel?
Right, 100%. And so,
oh my God.
Even from like, you know, minute, second zero, like things had just colossally not gone to plan. And so I think, and you guys had mentioned this in talking about breastfeeding too, it's like it already failed, or like my body couldn't even do the thing it's like made to do, right? And so there's already a lot of like guilt and like kind of trauma that came from that. I will say one of the really positive things that I did do is I knew I was super susceptible to postpartum depression. I had been hospitalized for an eating disorder when I was in high school. I have a mom with a very complicated medical and mental health history. Like, I, you know, it was like all the check boxes that, like, you might be vulnerable to this. I think, it was like every one of them. So, I had been in therapy. I wasn't in therapy at the time. I wasn't on medication at the time. Like, I was feeling and doing very well. And the midwives at the birthing center did tell me one thing that I think was super helpful was they were like, if you are concerned about this, the biggest thing we would recommend is actually talking to someone before you give birth.
Oh.
Because if it does happen, the last thing you're going to like want to do or have the energy to do is like call, find a therapist, figure something, like do all the legwork in setting that up. And that was for sure one of the most helpful things they did. I'd already done the thing, gotten my insurance and all the hoops you have to jump through, which is like a whole nother conversation, but I'd already met this person. I'd already talked to them. So having to then like go after I had the baby, I feel like was so much easier because of that.
For anybody who's listening, who's like an expecting first mom, that's like or who thinks they might be predisposed. That's a really good, really good tip.
Yeah. And it's for sure one of the things that I think helped me the most, because with my daughter it was pretty like immediate onset. We lived in a one bedroom loft at the time. We like moved in, and then like 1 month later I found out I was pregnant. I was like, great, okay, this is a great setup for a kid. And so just getting home, and I can remember the night, like maybe two or three nights in, where I just called my mom and I was just like, something is not right. Like, I can't sleep. I can't eat. Like, I just am not okay. I was not myself. And I, because I had experienced depression before, it was kind of like, I knew that feeling. Like, I knew the difference between just being like sad or slightly like not okay, and that like kind of deep grip that like I would describe that depression can give you. And so I also, like, it was January, it was like
gray outside,
gray and dark, and we couldn't leave, and I had a C-section, and then my partner had, like, I think I had the baby on like a Wednesday and he had to go back to work on like Monday. So I was you know, it's just like, what? I can't even walk upstairs. Like, what am I supposed to do?
It's very painful.
I was like, what in God's name is this? Like, there's just so much going on, and so much to adapt to. And the outside world is all like, you must be the happiest you've ever been.
Yeah.
And you're like,
help.
I'm like, I'm sorry. Let me try SOS. Not crying for 4 minutes a day.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I used to cry all the time. Like, as soon as we came home from the hospital, I would cry just for any reason, like, or for no reason.
Your hormones are so like out of whack. It's just like, it's really like, logically in my brain I could be like, I understand that like everything is okay, that like this is but mentally and emotionally, like, I couldn't that logic couldn't get me out of the of those spaces. And then, you know, I was really fortunate that the therapist I was seeing recommended at, I lived in Philly at the time and still live in the area, but like the Penn Women's Behavioral Health Center that like specialized in postpartum, you know, and like also like perimenopause and menopause, just like, you know, different hormonal changes in women's lives. And that's like one of the things I do feel really privileged and like in as part of my story is like that I, one, had the awareness that this was something that could probably happen to me, but two, that I had the resources around me and was able to like utilize those resources and get like really high quality care. And I think like another thing I would say to people is like, if it doesn't feel right when you're talking to someone or you see a doctor and you feel like you're not getting what you need, like, see someone else. Like,
right,
there are people out there who are really good at this type of stuff.
And
not
to die about it, you know?
Yeah, and not to feel like, you know, there's just so much shame and stigma. And I remember thinking, like, I mean, you know, my thoughts just like I just remember sitting and being like, oh my gosh, like, what if they hospitalize me and take the baby away and da 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 da. And I'm like, you know, it's just, you have such a narrow focus, like, when you're in those type of places. And so being able to have people around you that can help, you know, I'm just so lucky that I also had an incredibly supportive partner. And I think there are things that don't stick, like, Jessica, when you were talking about that mommy and me group, like, I went to this, like, postpartum moms group, and, like, for the camaraderie, I was just like, oh no, like, other people's stories actually ended up scaring me more. And I was just like, I went home and I was just like crying, like, thank you for being such a good partner. And like, my mom was there, I was like, thank you guys. Cause, like, you know, some of the stories people told, I was just like, oh, this is like not going to be a healthy space for me. Oh, and God. So understanding that, like, you have to figure out, like, the things that are going to feel good to you. And I think, like, the biggest thing for me was, like, this is temporary. I was so scared this was, like, going to be my permanent state of, like, being.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so hard to see past it, right? You're like, oh my God, now there's this, like, thing in my life. I'm trying to take care of it. What happened to me? I don't feel anything like I used to. Is this just how I'm going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and some part of me was like, I mean, it's got to change. Like, why do people procreate if this is what it's like? Like, something's got to. I was like,
seriously,
we wouldn't have made it this long.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so like, you know, but that's what, and like having people there to remind you that, and like,
yeah,
who can tell you, like, they know who you are and this isn't who you are and you're going to be okay.
You're not your thoughts.
Like, it's so important.
Yeah. I think it's also really important to know that it's a long journey. Like, mental health is a continuous journey, and postpartum mental health is a long journey too. Because they were told me, oh yeah, after 6 weeks, you know, just think about the 6 weeks. And I'm almost like 4 months postpartum now. And, you know, now my hair is falling out, for example, because that, you know, and I'm like, does it ever end? You know?
And, well, I'm at 9 months and it hasn't, so sorry. I still get it. Actually, you texted me the other day, Ari. You're like, have you gotten postpartum hair loss? And I sent her a wad of my hair. And I'm like, so no, true. Not at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
You were like, I can't believe I still have any hair left.
Yeah, I literally don't know how. So yeah, we should do a whole another podcast on that. Hair.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just so hard because your mind as you knew it before you gave birth and your body is never the same.
For sure.
You know, and that is something that'll continuously just affect you. And so I just started going to therapy last week, and like I said, that's 4 months after the fact. So you can always do it, and it's something that you can always, you know, manage. It's never too late to manage it either.
Yeah, and I think, like, it's just gonna shift and change over time. And I think the expectation I had originally was like, I need to fix this, and
right,
you know,
like it's a cut or something, like,
yeah, and like 10 years later I'm just like, there are things that, like, I'm gonna have to deal with, and they're gonna look different based on the conditions of my life at any given time. And so just knowing the tools that help make me feel okay and how to, like, use them is far more valuable than being so fixated on wanting to, like, it to end. Because sometimes I did feel like, I was like, this feels so unfair. Like, why is this, like, why is this happening? And I would see other people and I'm like, you don't feel this way, you know? And I think that, you know, I think it's even harder now. I mean, there was social media 10 years ago, but not to the way it is today. And I think it's just really hard to feel like you're not living up to the version of what you wanted to be or what is portrayed to be.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's an evolution. And then, I did start to feel significantly better, like, as my daughter got older. And she was, like, what I referred to as, like, a high-needs baby. Like, I don't think she, like, formally had colic, but, like, she was pretty fussy. Like, our, like, go-tos were we would have the stroller, like, open inside. Again, we were living in, like, one-bedroom loft apartment in the city, and we have the stroller open inside and have her in it and just lightly be tapping it on the wall, like lightly banging the stroller against the wall, and that would like calm her down. Or we had like the vent over the oven on like full blast.
Oh, that's such a smart idea for a sound machine.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, these new sound machines are so like great. I'm like,
brilliant.
I kicked it old school with the, we would be like standing in the kitchen.
That's
with
a good mom hack.
It is a good mom.
With the vent on, you know.
Yes.
That's probably the most standing in the kitchen I did, because I was like not cooking, just trying to make my baby stop screaming. So,
just crying.
You know, but it got better. Like,
yeah.
Over time, and like I got to a place where I felt good enough to have another kid. For a while I was like, the thought of having another child, like, it just like,
yeah, instantly that's what felt I this like about. Like, oh yeah, I mean, if this is how you feel like now, okay, party's over, sorry. Like, I
for sure I couldn't even think of like having the idea of having another baby until she was like 18 months old. Like, I was just like, the thought of a newborn baby sent like chills down my spine.
It was really
and I think like, and like I kind of felt guilty for thinking that, and I kind of, you know, people would be like, oh, are you ready to have another? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what? like oh my gosh. You know, and then I did. And then what was crazy is I thought that I could like out postpartum myself with the second one. I'm like, okay, what were all of the like external factors that contributed to this? One, I had a baby in the winter. Poor planning. Not going to do that again.
Okay.
My husband at the time was a school counselor, so we had summers off. I'm like, first of all, we're having a baby in the summer. I was like, if we don't have this baby between this time and this time, like, that's it. Yeah. Like, we're not. And then I was like, we can get outside. You're off for 6 weeks. Like, that'll be okay. Then I was like, all right, I got to be more open with what's going to happen. I did want to try and have a VBAC. I just felt like if I didn't, I would have always wondered if. So, also, I mean, like, vaginal birth after cesarean. So, wanting to try for that, I couldn't use the same birth center I did. They did not do VBACs, but I found a midwife who was like actually well known for VBACs in the area. But like would have my baby in a hospital. I toured that hospital. I was like, we'll go see the hospital. We'll like pretend we know what we're doing, you know? You know, my son was like very planned, very, very planned. And then the shit they don't tell you about, I got like prepartum anxiety with him. And I'm like, wait a minute. This stuff isn't supposed to happen until afterwards. I already did all the planning on the front end to try and like prevent this. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I was just really unprepared for that. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This didn't happen last time. So it was just very different. I had like a lot of anxiety. I like made the choice to go on medication, which I also think is something like people don't talk about a lot. And it was like the right, it was the right choice for me. And once that happened, like the rest of the pregnancy went pretty well. And then I had my son in July, and the first like week I was like, oh, this is why people have babies. Like, I see, like, I was doing pretty well. He was a very, like, he didn't like cry till he was like 3 days old. I didn't know if he like made sound. And he is very much still like my mama's boy kind of baby. But then, and then it hit me with him in much more, it was much more anxiety. It wasn't depression, it was anxiety. And it was very different. And it was just like, here we go again, you know? And there was like, I think a little bit of that, like, what? I tried to like outsmart this thing and it still found me. And so there's just some like sadness and frustration in that. You know, I had talked to my mom. My mom had had postpartum with me. She didn't with my brother. So when I was like, maybe, you know, like maybe there's a shot that I won't.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, even still to this day, like I definitely am managing, like I manage anxiety. I manage like, you know, my own mental health. And I look back on some of that and it's just, I'm just really fortunate. Again, like I started seeing a different therapist, but like already had a therapist. And so those things were really helpful for me. And I think, you know, one of the biggest things that I am continuing to figure out, because I think Ari, like you said, like, it's just a journey. Like,
yeah,
who could have predicted that like the world would be where it was and what has happened in the last number of years? And so like being able to adapt to the situation that you're in is something that is now far more fulfilling to me than like pretending like I have it all together all the time. And you know, and I've figured out the things that work for me. Like I literally will tell myself if I'm in a moment or like I'm like, oh gosh, like my anxiety, it feels like what's going, like I can pause and I can take a moment to like be like, okay, like are you getting a good night's sleep? Like I know sleep is a huge trigger for me if I'm not sleeping well.
Oh yeah.
Like so I'm like,
weird if you don't sleep.
You get weird. You get really
I mean
weird.
I do at least.
Funny side story. When I was a freshman in college, this was before I met you, Ari. I got pneumonia.
Oh God.
And after I had pneumonia, I was still very congested. And the doctor told me like, oh, take this much like Sudafed, NyQuil stuff, like more than the like dose of it. I didn't know at the time, but I have like the opposite reaction to pseudoephedrine, which makes you drowsy. It makes me like awake. So I was like hopped up on like Sudafed and didn't sleep for like 3 days.
Oh,
and then was so anxious about not sleeping that I couldn't sleep.
Oh, my
and
God.
I remember like having a conversation with my parents. I was like, I understand why people would do very deranged things if they did not have sleep. And, you know, so like, I know sleep is like a huge thing for me.
Yeah,
I'm like,
too. Yeah.
Am I moving my body? Like, am I doing things that feel good? Like, even if it's a walk, even if it's right, like, am I getting outside? Yeah. Am I getting outside? Like
your happy place.
Do I need some nature? Caffeine, I'm like, am I drinking too much caffeine? Oh, like, do I need to back off? You know, like, am I going to therapy? Am I doing, you know, it's just like the checklist of things.
Yeah.
And so like, I tell my thing to myself is just like, you just got to work your plan. Like you got to work your plan.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Like sometimes I'm like the energy it takes to do the things, is the hardest part to muster in the moments that are hard. But yeah. I always know that I feel better after I do them.
For sure. And I think, like, because once you become a mom, there's just, it just go, go, ready, set, go mm-hmm. for the next 18 years. And so I feel like every day, if you can do one little thing for yourself, for me, that helps me. I just think about, because you're always doing things for other people, whether it's your job, your child, your family. And so you will tend to get put last on the list, right? And so if there's something little that you, even if it's like, oh, I took my vitamins this morning.
You know? Oh, 100%.
That's usually what it is. As little as this, it is that little, trust me.
Which is because there's some days you don't even manage to do that.
Actually,
you know?
It's more like, did I take my vitamins today?
Yeah, or like, did I brush my teeth? Or like, you yeah. know, those little
I haven't
things.
Brushed my hair in 3 days.
Yeah.
The little hair that I have left.
I was just gonna say the hair that maybe I did it on purpose so I don't lose anymore.
Right.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Yeah. And also yeah. I think now it's mental health is becoming slowly less stigmatized, and like having a therapist is becoming less stigmatized, but it still is. And I think the more we just normalize it by talking about it, the more too, because then get the idea like, oh, okay, this is normal, this is what people are doing to manage mm-hmm. their mental health. Just like you hire a personal trainer, you know, to get stronger, you hire a therapist to get mentally stronger yep. and yep. more secure. And like what I've noticed about my friends that are really successful in what they do, whether it's work or being a mom or both, they all have therapists.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And any good therapist will also have a therapist. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, and I just think that like any ounce you pour into your own healing is going to come back to you tenfold as a parent. Yeah. Like I know that if you know, and I deal with a lot of things because like I'm very well aware of these like things that have occurred to me or happened to me, and like I am 10 times less likely to project that onto my kids or to, right. you know, live any of that out if I'm like pouring a little bit into my own healing. Yes. And I think that that's like remembering that too is really helpful because,
yeah,
it's worth it. Like I'm a better parent when I am focused on, you know, my own healing and restoration. And it's very obvious, especially as they get older and you like yell and then you hear yourself and you're like, oh man, like like that was definitely a manifestation of something like I felt about me, not anything to do with you. Let me walk that back, or like we need some ice cream ASAP because that was not a good choice. As I'm yelling about making good choices, right? Like just like a lot of irony.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well you can't pour from an empty cup, so you know you have to fill yourself up a little bit, even if it's just a tiny bit every week or every day. You know, and it is like definitely a privilege to be able to do that or to have time to go to therapy, whether it's virtual or in person. It, you know, that takes time, it takes resources, it takes money in some regard because therapists don't work for free. So I think it's important to acknowledge that but there are also ways to seek out therapy now that are more creative so that you can access it better. I think, you know, I use an app, for example, BetterHelp app, and that way you can literally do it from anywhere. And like, as a mom, you're usually on your phone or have your phone around. And so that being able to access that through my phone just makes it super easy.
There's also the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline. Not that I know that off the top of my head or anything.
What's the number?
Yeah, I don't know where I know that from. Anyway, it's a really good hotline. You text a therapist for free.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I had been looking for some help, and I came across this hotline, and they have webinars, and I was like, I'm not going on the webinar. I don't even have time to do anything, but to text a late, like to text somebody when it's totally anonymous, like 100%. It's so nice. It's not an app or anything. It's literally just and we could post it on our Instagram page. Mm, yeah. But the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline. And it's 24/7, and you don't have to call and be like, I don't feel good, I don't know what's going on. You can literally just text if you're more comfortable. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing. And it's free.
It's free. It's helpful. And, you know, they give you, like, links and numbers, and they're just, it's super helpful. So that's, like, my two cents there. But, that's definitely... and also if you're someone who just doesn't want to go to a therapist or go to a hotline, or you're scared or whatever it is, like, just find a good friend that has your back, that like you could talk to. And even though if they're not in the same stage of life, like with kids, like that's what I did. I talked to my good, very close friend. She doesn't have kids or anything, but like, I was like, I need to talk to somebody. I don't even know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
So, and it really, really helps. And she gave me two book recommendations. I'm reading the book every night before bed, and it's like amazing. Like there's so many resources around you if you're willing to step out and tell somebody, which is the hardest part. 100%.
Yeah. 100%. I think like finding your people and who are the people who you can be.
Yeah.
Like your authentic self with, and have some real conversations. And that's been a huge thing for me continuing in my journey, right, of motherhood and personhood and all of those things, is like surrounding myself with people who, you know, who are supportive. And yeah, like I was very fortunate. Like I have a partner who doesn't have like personal experience with a lot of those things, but was incredibly supportive. Is incredibly supportive, you know, because I now have a daughter who's 10, and like we're 1 year off from middle school, and like I'm just like, man, you know, like it's like coming both ways now, like,
you're right.
And so, you know, having people around me who I feel like I can trust and talk to is absolutely huge. And I think, like you said, is the best first step, is just to talk. I remember just feeling like a weight was lifted off of me when I was able to like pick up the phone and be like, I don't think something is right.
It's and nothing just, to be scared about.
Yeah. And I think like it feels, you just have to remember, I like, I don't know what this from, it's probably from TikTok, because that's like my number one source of information these days. But someone was describing, like, you know, it feels like if you have like an empty toilet paper roll, like, and you look through that, like that's what your focus feels like. You're not able to see anything else. And like having people to remind you that there is like, there is the else, like you are so hyper focused and narrow in your view when you're in a like high anxiety or depression moment, and for people to be like, nope, like there, like it is okay, I can see past that for you right now, is just huge, and is really helpful. You know, and like something I still call and need support with. And you know, and I remember, this is like the pettiness in me coming out. Like, I remember when people would be like, have babies, and I'd always be like, how do you feel? Like, do you feel okay? I just want someone else to be like, no, this sucks. I feel terrible. And I would be like, finally, you know, and like I just always wished it would happen. And I'm like, that's so sick that I'm like wishing, you know, and it's not that I wish that, but it's like I just didn't want to feel alone in this experience. And I think it's honestly so much more common than people think, but we're conditioned to talk about it like it's the absolute greatest moment in our lives, when really it's just such a huge adjustment period. You know, and like the American way of doing it is like you just go figure it out, right? Like,
yeah,
the first night, like, we came home, and, like, again, we were, like, the first, like, we didn't have anywhere to, like, put the baby other than her car seat and her crib. Like, we didn't have a bouncer. We didn't have a, like, we didn't have anything. And I was like, wait, where do we put the baby? Like, I don't know. Like, what was I thinking? Like, I don't even know. How did they let us leave with this baby?
That's so insane.
I didn't even have. And then, like, the first night we were home, I, like, hand the baby to my husband. I'm like, oh, okay, can you change her diaper? And we're, like, on the couch because, again, I can't walk up the stairs. Oh, and, like, yeah. He hands her back to me. And then, like, 2 minutes later, I'm like, oh, my God, it's, oh no. Like, there's, like, hot liquid, everywhere. It was, like, liquid poop. I lift her up. It's all over me. I'm like, oh, my God, this must be, like, the biggest poop ever. Like, and he picks her up and brings her, but he didn't put a diaper on her. Like, he took the diaper off and forgot to put another one on. Like, I was just like, who let us have a baby? Because we are not going to make it. Like, we're just not going to make it. You know, and now she's 10 and thriving. And we like amazing. To tell her that story regularly.
Yeah. So you guys did something right.
Yeah, man. I mean, I guess you figure it out, but, like, we also, like, immediately texted our parents, like, can someone buy us a bouncer ASAP? Because the doctor was like, yeah, the baby can't, like, rest in the car. So I was like, listen, yeah. This feels like the safest place for her to just, like, sit in the middle of my living room floor in her car seat. So, you know, we've come a long way.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. We really benefited from this, and I hope that, you know, you never know who might be listening and who might then be inspired or feel less alone and might actually seek therapy or seek mental health help, and I think it's really important. So we love having you on, and
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, there's so much more we could talk about.
Oh my god, we should just do, like, a mental health part two to keep going.
Oh yeah.
Seriously. For sure. I mean, I will 100% be offended if I'm not invited back at some point. So
oh, we are. You're on the list for round two. So.
Great.
Don't worry. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. And we'll
post more information again about the hotline if anybody wants, or some other resources we'll post on our Instagram page.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Yeah. Bye.